So one more question, which is we now have two hedgehog inhibitors approved in basal cell cancer. I'm curious what your thoughts and experiences are in terms of using these agents, when you use them, and how you choose between the two.
So vismodegib being the first and then sunitegib coming right behind it, they look pretty comparable by response rate in the early going. Tolerability, these drugs have a real issue in terms of fatigue, altered sense of taste, and then usually we think as a consequence of that, weight loss, making it difficult to treat patients for a long period of time. And yet the flip side is that most of the addressable population that we're talking about with truly advanced basal cell carcinoma are kind of locally advanced, borderline resectable patients. They've already been through a surgery or two and radiation as well, typically. And so, we oftentimes think about these drugs as being, let's call it induction therapy of a sort. I mean, like, let's get patients into a response, recognizing we're going to have to stop after a few or several months. And so usually the idea with, talking to patients about this prospectively is, look, give us, a few months, 2-3 months to kind of get you moving in the right direction, see if we can, keep you on therapy beyond that time frame. But, we're not talking about indefinite 1-2 year durations of therapy. These drugs just unfortunately are not tolerable in the vast majority of patients out through that time frame. So between the two, though, sunitegib, based on the emerging data that supported its approval and then now in clinical practice, it does seem better tolerated. There was this randomized phase 2 study that was done of kind of lower dose and higher dose, and they looked equally effective, but the lower dose, which was the approved dose, clearly better tolerated. And so while it does have the same class effect toxicity, it really does have a little bit less, in terms of those kind of constitutional type toxicities, if you were to look across the trials and now in clinical practice. So in any case, suffice to say that these are therapies that I think in this population are best considered as, kind of a course of therapy, plan on taking a break. You'll be able to get kind of buy-in from the patient if you upfront communicate that you're not going to be threatening them with indefinite therapy, but get them into a response, plan on taking a break, and then watch them closely. You may have to retreat, but like with other targeted therapies in oncogene-defined populations, it seems pretty clear that you can retreat. In other words, if you've stopped for reasons other than emergence of resistance, the likelihood of being able to reinduce a response seems to be quite high. So that's been our practice, even in patients who could never entertain another surgery, in patients who could be rendered surgical candidates with a response. Obviously, that's a real sweet spot for these drugs. And that's really where their uptake has taken hold, is in locally advanced patients where they would have to undergo a disfiguring surgery. And if you can get them into a significant response where it makes the surgery much less morbid, that's a real value proposition.